Welcome to the Healthy Skin Show with Jennifer Fugo, where we're flipping everything you've been told about your chronic skin issues upside down and connecting you with alternative solutions your dermatologist never told you about.
Welcome back to episode number 185 of the Healthy Skin Show. In today's episode, we are going to be tackling a topic that I am often asked about, specifically melasma. So for those of you who have been waiting for someone to come on the show and talk about this more in depth, your wait is finally over. Got a great guest today who I am very excited to share with all of you, especially because she's not just a really brilliant dermatologist, but for those of you who listen who are located in India and have reached out to me to do consultations, my guest today is actually located in India. So she's got a practice there in Delhi, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. First, I wanted to give a shout out to those of you who have so kindly and graciously left amazing reviews of the Healthy Skin Show on all these various podcast platforms. And there's someone today whose review really caught my eye, and I want to give a special shout out and send a special thank you to one of our listeners. Her handle is akbrooke907, but Brooke, I know exactly who you are, and I really appreciate you sharing a 5-star review, sharing that the podcast has been life-changing for you. Brooke shared on her review that she has been listening to the Healthy Skin Show for over a year now. And she says, I'm so grateful for all of the valuable info that Jennifer has to share. It has greatly improved my eczema healing strategy and given me hope to someday be 100% clear. Following Jen on Instagram makes my day brighter. Thanks for all you do to help others. And thank you, Brooke. I really appreciate you as well and getting to know you. So thank you so much for taking this step and just sharing what you find to be helpful, because people out on the internet, think about, there's so many different shows, so many different podcasts, so many different resources. And when you take a moment to really share what has been helpful for you, you help other people connect with resources that are actually providing you insight, support, strategy, inspiration, hope, whatever. And so I appreciate the few moments that it took for you to share that. And for everybody else listening, if you haven't done so yet, as you guys know, I ask every single time, just simply because it's a couple minutes of time. It's an easy way to give back. Head on over to your podcast platform of choice. If you're streaming this from something, share a review. Or if you're in a Facebook group, share about the show. Or if you're on my newsletter list, forward the emails that you get that you think would be helpful topics for someone that you know who's going through some particular type of skin rash issue to them. Because when we share, right? Because I'm sharing. When you share, then we help each other. And that's the whole idea and concept behind this show, is to share the information and make sure that other people get access to it. And the only way that happens is when we think about others and we realize that one simple thing can have a huge impact on someone else who is desperately seeking answers. And my guest today is no stranger to sharing her passion to help people with skin issues as well. Allow me to introduce you to my guest. Her name is Dr. Kiran Sethi. She is a celebrity skin and wellness expert and physician who was originally trained at Columbia University and used to practice in New York City. She is the only American skin and wellness specialist located in India. She has been named best skin expert in India many times over and has had columns with numerous press and has been featured or been a co-host on a number of TV shows for NDTV, CNBC, Zee News, Asia TV, and more. And she is best known for her integrative approach to beauty from the inside out, though she does also have further specializations in cosmetic formulations, lasers, and aesthetics. So finally, let us dive into this amazing conversation all about melasma. Welcome, Dr. Kieran, to the show. I'm so excited that, number one, we can make this work out given our time zone difference, and just to have you on the show. You're so well respected, and I'm really excited too because this is the first time we're ever going to talk about melasma.
Yay, I'm so happy to be here.
So why don't you tell us, and especially for listeners who've never heard of melasma before, what is melasma, and can it just impact anyone, or are there certain people that seem more prone to it over other individuals?
So melasma, so it can actually affect anybody, but what melasma really is it is a condition that is a combination of a hormonal sensitivity to the sun. So, you know, mostly women will get it, men get it much less. And, you know, you'll see a lot of women, they'll be like, oh, I got pregnant and I got it, you know, or I took oral contraceptives and I got it. Or, you know, like I went through menopause and I got it, or I became less after menopause. So you'll see, and they'll often say, by the way, oh, it gets worse around certain times of my cycle. It gets better around other times of my cycle. So it has an enormous hormonal component to it. So that's why melasma is a bit trickier than any other typical pigmentation disorder, right? Because a typical pigmentation disorder, we can just, you know, treat it, remove it. But melasma, it depends on sort of like the dynamic interconnection of a host of different hormones. So it becomes a bit more complicated.
And does it just impact the face, or are there other areas that you can also have it on?
It's typically the face, the cheeks, the chin, the cheeks. So there's the cheeks, the nose, the upper lip, the forehead, the mandible area. There's different types of melasma depending on where it shows up. There's also there's more surface melasma. There's more deep melasma. There's mixed melasma. There's more a vascular type of melasma. So there's all different types of melasma, and we treat them a little bit differently.
Wow. My goodness. I thought there was just melasma. Apparently not. This is definitely more complicated.
Yeah.
So for someone who gets this, or who thinks they have it, what would be I guess we should start off by just saying briefly, what would be a standard treatment option that you go to a regular dermatologist, what are they likely going to tell you? Here's your options.
So in the States, or even in India where I practice, most skin specialists or skin doctors will typically say, you know what, go on a standard Kligman's formula, which is a hydroquinone, a tretinoin, and a topical steroid mix. And you'll have to do this, you know, every day or every other day. And then once the melasma is better, you'll have to maintain the result at least twice a week in order for it to be maintained. Otherwise, you know, you can't just stop it and then it's over. You actually have to maintain the result. If you don't maintain the result, it will rebound. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
interesting. So this is an ongoing problem. It's not once it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of a interesting part about it. But I actually find that you can actually do a lot without using Kligman's. So, you know, I do pretty good results in melasma without it, but I'll use alternatives to hydroquinone, because hydroquinone, which is considered a bleaching agent, it can be irritating. It can cause redness. There's a very, very, very tiny risk of something called ochronosis, where the skin actually gets black, and that's hard to treat. But it's very tiny risk. So, you know, usually it's very safe. So, makes the thin skin a bit more sensitive, more rosacea. So I don't like that. Topical retinoids are fine, obviously, but topical retinoids are vitamin A derivatives. But I try and avoid the other two if I can. If I do have a case of really bad melasma, it's not that I won't use it, but I will use it as judiciously and as minimally as possible.
And is it just topical? Because you said this is a hormonal issue. So are there some things from other perspectives that you could add in or incorporate into your diet or your lifestyle or supplements that might also be helpful? Or is there a certain way that we should think about this, given that there is a hormonal component that might be helpful for someone who just thinks it's a skin problem right now? And they're like, wait, there's a hormonal issue here, potentially. Exactly. Does that mean also there's a hormonal issue under the surface that you need to pay attention to?
It doesn't mean there's a hormonal issue to the surface. In fact, if you try and pinpoint which hormone, you'll never be able to figure that out. It just means that your hormones make you more sensitive. And we still don't know exactly why. But what I tell my patients, so I have a very integrative approach to aesthetics, as we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. So I actually do a whole host of things. One is diet intervention. So anything, any food that has sort of like a hormonal component to it, be it dairy. I also say stay very organic if you have non-vegetarian food, you know, like, cause they give them so many antibiotics, which, and hormones as well, which has another hormonal component. So we avoid those, stay organic. I also try and avoid, too much, high glycemic foods because that spikes insulin and then you end up in the IGF-1 pathway, which can trigger more hormonal variation. So we do a lot of diet work. Cortisol stress is a big trigger, right, of hormonal variation. It's a hormone itself. So stress reduction, you know, talking about things like meditation, exercise, healthier eating patterns, healthier living patterns, right? So these are all things that will actually help with melasma. And it sounds odd. And, you know, like when you talk to your skin specialist or skin doctor and or dermatologist or aesthetic specialist, whatever, and they're talking to you about, you know, meditating for your melasma, I'm sure that my patients must be like, what's happening? You know, they're like, but no, you don't get it. Like stress plays a big impact. And then they're like, okay, doc, like fine. Like, no. And they're like, ah, come on. But no, so we do that. And then, you know, we do skincare regimens that have great ingredients, actually, like alpha arbutin, which is really safe, kojic acid, licorice extract, alpha hydroxy acids. We do use our topical retinoids, vitamin C's, cysteamine is a new ingredient, tranexamic acid is a newer ingredient. There's actually niacinamide. There's so many great ingredients. So we can mix and match them, do some in the morning, do some at night. And those are great. And we actually manage good results with that. But then we do also do treatments as well. And great treatments are things like microneedling done at like a very specific depth, like of 0.5 to 0.6 mm, which helps actually teach the skin how to behave better. So your skin has like keratinocytes and has melanocytes and it has fibroblasts. And they all behave in a specific way. And as you get older or say you have dysregulation, they behave sort of badly, right? So they sort of are like, they'll make, say you get a pimple, you'll get like a mark afterwards, say you have melasma, the signaling is awry and that's why it just flares. So it actually helps improve the signaling. So it teaches the skin sort of how to behave a bit better, which I think is really cool, right? So I call it sort of like a time reversal machine. And you can infuse great ingredients like the same ones I was telling you about, tranexamic acid, cysteamine, glutathione, and all of these, and that gets deeper into the layers as well. So because when you apply a skincare product, only like a few percentage gets absorbed, but when you microneedle it in, it goes much deeper and you can get it to where it needs to go. So we do things like that. And then I'll judiciously add in certain lasers because you have to just watch, right? You can't be too aggressive with melasma, it gets worse. And you can't be too gentle, it just doesn't go. So it's like a dance, right? So every time I do something different, every time we look at something different, because it's so complex on how it responds. But we actually, like, it's really fabulous when it does respond really well because patients who've been through this and it's so prevalent, they're just so happy, you know, so happy. So that's really great.
May I ask, with these treatments, like the microneedling or the laser treatments, this is, again, similar to what you were saying, it's not just a one-time thing. Like, is there sort of a schedule, more or less, that someone may have to do these, just so they have an idea going into this, like what would that look like?
Yeah. So I tell them to microneedle like once a month. So first of all, please don't try and microneedle at home. If you do it wrong, it's a problem. Also, if you use the wrong ingredients, like you have to use specific ones, like there should be no polysorbate, there should be no preservatives, you know, because it's so different what you can apply on your face and what you can apply in a deeper layer. And you can't just use your skin cream and microneedle it on top. You will give yourself a rash. You will. It's a guarantee. Okay. So, you know, things like that. But I tell them once a month because that's enough time for the skin to sort of renew itself, microneedling. And then I also will do the laser again once a month or once in 2 weeks, depending on, sometimes people also have they have a wedding or they have like a big event, you know, they want to look good before then. So I might prepone certain things, but usually I don't like to overdo it. I think that when we get too aggressive, that's a problem in itself. And I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, Oh, so I'll finish that. So I do a course of 6 usually of microneedling sessions, and I do the laser, and I get to a result of anywhere from 60 to 90% reduction. If I want more, then we can keep going. You know, some people obviously are treatment failures, in which case then we switch, but then we can always find some sort of solution. There's always a solution because there's so many different ways to deal with it. If you want more results, then we can go forward, but then I usually will increase the gap because I think that the skin might sometimes need a bit more time to renew itself. Sometimes I will just call it, I'll say, you know what, I think the skin is good for now. I don't want to touch it. You know, it's really like an intuitive experience often. And then sometimes I will call them back.
And having your clinical experience too, of just having worked with, I think that's the other point that I really appreciate you made about, like, don't do this at home. This is not a DIY project, is that you as a doctor, you have so much experience in looking at different cases that you can see, like, wait, I think we're pushing too hard. Like you said, I think we can do this. And you have that, you're not in it. Like a lot of times when you're in your own skin, you're like, I just want it gone. I'll do anything. And you end up doing way too many things trying to get to an end result that you may make it worse.
Yeah, and exactly. And I tell my patients, like, I think I spend more time talking about anxiety reduction than about skin sometimes, you know, because I'm like, you know, all you're doing is your thoughts are telling you that this will never go away. And so you're trying to do stuff yourself to make that feeling of it never going away go away. But then all you do is make it worse. So it's like your fear is realizing itself. So just take your worry, throw it on me. I will bear it and I will take care of it, you know? So it's like, it's my problem. It's not your problem.
Yes, yes, yes. And as an aside, because I was just thinking about this. So is skin is sun exposure the main problem that will bring this on? So like, does someone have to avoid being in the sun or wear a lot of sunscreen or wear a hat? Or are there, I know you said like the hormones are a facet of this, but are there any other potential triggers out there that really seem you got to watch?
Yeah. So the sun is huge. So like I said, the hormones make you way more sensitive to the sun. So the sun is enormous, right? So like, there's a few things that I always tell my patients, no hormonal pills, no oral contraceptives, please. No. So that's forever a no-no. Like even the drug eluting IUDs, even those, even the marinas, the rings, even those, none of those can happen because it's just going to make everything worse or problematic. So no hormonal pills. The second thing is the sun is your enemy, unfortunately, in melasma. And people never wear the right amount of sunblock, but actually the right amount of sunblock for your face and neck is about 2 tablespoons. So it's like, you gotta like, yeah. Yeah,
it is. 2 tablespoons.
It's a lot. It's a lot, you know, especially in a melasma patient. And I tell people 2 tablespoons, it's really like 1.5, 1. But like I tell them 2, so then they at least do the 1, 1.5, you know. my trick, you know.
Wow, that's a lot. I don't think I've ever put that much on my body as a whole.
It's a lot. Wow. I mean, I will like if you have a spray, I'll sometimes take like 6 sprays and I'll put it on my face, you know, like, and I tell my patients, you get used to it. But if you actually do it right, like even that in itself is such a big intervention. And then there's like really great antioxidants you can eat. Like there's one called Polypodium leucotomus, which actually gives you like a natural SPF factor of like 4 to 8. If you take the tablets, that's just like a fern extract. That then more antioxidants in your diet, vitamin C, even glutathione. So these are simple things that everyone has to do. We have found that there's a tablet called tranexamic acid, which actually was used in gynecology for excess bleeding. But we have found that if you take that pill in melasma, it reduces your risk. It increases your results of the melasma treatment by 3 times. So you literally get a multiple of 3 improvement in your result. So we do that a lot as well.
Wow. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I want to ask you, you mentioned about the hydroquinolone.
Mm-hmm. Hydroquinone.
And hydroquinone, excuse me. And you mentioned about that. And I wanted to touch on like the bleaching, because I think sometimes, I mean, I've seen an awful lot, especially over the past few months, being at home, looking at videos online. There's this, and I guess it's not a new trend, of people wanting to kind of like bleach their skin in areas where they feel like it's too dark or discolored or whatever. And that's a really big deal. There's also cultural implications for some of that. Like, what are your feelings and your experiences of working with patients, especially like, have you seen people where that sort of lightening process has gone really awry, or maybe they did it at home or they did it with the wrong person?
Yeah, I've definitely seen that. In India, you can get like the Kligman's thing I was telling you about. You can get it over the counter. And your pharmacist can also just give you whatever he wants. So there's no prescription, you know, technically there's no prescription regulation. So a lot of people, like their pharmacist or their friend, will be like, oh, try this and it'll make you white. And they'll start using it and they'll use it for years. And they'll come in with this, the kind of skin that you'll be shocked at. It's thin, it's red, it's super sensitive. Even if you touch it, you can't like handle it. And they're miserable, you know, they're really miserable. So I have seen a lot of side effects from it, which is why I really, after seeing all of that, you know, I'm naturally just more wary. You know, I'm so wary of it because I've seen people just use it to such a bad extreme. You will get more, you will definitely, your complexion will change, but then your skin will be so papery thin, you know, then you've also aged your skin by 10 years.
And so when the skin becomes thin like that, is it, are you stuck? Like for someone who's listening to this, where say maybe they've even used like topical steroid cream, and I know steroid creams can also thin the skin of the face. Like, are you stuck? Do you feel like someone that's a hard road, or can your skin rejuvenate?
Your skin can get better. Your skin can get better. In fact, we do things like microneedling again because it boosts baby collagen. So you actually get fetal collagen. So it's like a good, healthy collagen, and you can keep doing that. We do really good skincare. We have to calm the skin down. Like, I will stop everything on those patients and be like, you are going to suffer for a month. You will feel very uncomfortable, but I have to give you some doxycycline. I usually give them like a bit of oral antibiotics to calm down the inflammation. Some calcium neuron inhibitors like tacrolimus very often we use to sort of calm it down. Obviously, these are all prescription things, guys. So we'd use that to calm things down, but I won't let them use any topical steroid at all. So it's sort of like a complete detox. So it's a very tough, that first month, 2 months is very tough because, you know, your skin is like addicted to it, right? Like it just only knows how to function with that on it. So it doesn't know what to do. So that whole process gets very, very uncomfortable for them. But then after that, actually starts to get better and better and better usually. And we find a bunch, and there's a few other things that I'll prescribe based on what they need. And then we start certain treatments, like even a laser that we do called Clear Lift has also been shown to be really great in sort of like the thinner skin. So it sort of just builds up that collagen. These are the things that I've used. But I keep it very gentle, you know, because I think that the more gentle, the better in super thin skin like that, and it can be improved. So there's nothing to worry about.
Okay. And so no like abrasive scrubs.
No,
you can, melasma, no, nothing abrasive.
No, if I give a scrub, it might be once a week, it might be once a month, but usually, you know, I'm using such, using like pretty good creams to get rid of the pigmentation. Mm-hmm. So you don't really need much. And like I said, melasma is the kind of thing that if you go too hard, you can make it worse. So it's like a constant balancing act that I'm doing with them.
Interesting. This has been so fun. And thank you so much for also just sharing so much of your candid wisdom that you've gained over the years, not just from like medical school, but being in practice. And you really, you're also very worldly. You started, were you in New York?
I was born and raised in New York. I did my undergrad, I did my med school. I did residency in New York. I did my master's in dermatology skills in my diploma and master's of science in derm in the UK. And I've been in India, and I used free clinics for the poor for quite a few years. That was wonderful. Then I had a skincare line. I've done everything.
And that's why I was such an honor when you were open to being on the show. I was so excited, because it's nice to have guests on who are so knowledgeable, and it's not just like you're book smart. You're also like, you understand how to pivot and shift and look at things from different perspectives because of so much clinical experience. And that's the kind of wisdom that I think people who do like AI and computer generated things would love to like put in a program, but it's your brain is amazing. And it's like, it's such an honor to have you here sharing this with us and to hear, you know, just all the different variations and whatnot. And I think people appreciate knowing that they have more options than just the few that they're being given.
Yeah, there are a lot of options. And I really believe, especially when it comes to melasma, there's a, You have to take a very holistic approach to it. And thank you so much for your kind words. I really try to do the best I can to look at all different ways of looking at things. And I believe that there's nothing is ever a no. It's always like, well, let's consider it. You know, so I think that sort of helps me a bit, but thank you.
Yes. Awesome. And so people can find you on the internet. What is your website?
My website is www.isyaderm.com. I'm on Instagram on at Dr. Kiran Says, DrKiranSays, and at IsyaDerm. And I do online consultations as well. And you, like I do a lot on Instagram, so I give a lot of wisdom as much as I can in 1 minute on Instagram. So people can find me there.
Perfect. Well, we'll link to all of your profiles and the ways that people can connect with you over in the show notes. I thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate your time, and I hope we can have you back sometime.
Thank you so much. Absolutely. Take care.
For those of you wondering what took so long to get this conversation to happen here on the Healthy Skin Show, well, to be honest with you, I've been looking for someone who was able to talk about this from a different perspective. Most people don't really have a different perspective or an alternative perspective. It's really mostly been a conventional approach. And so when I was connected with Dr. Sethi, I really appreciated the way in which she cares about her patients and she looks at the problems from all different angles. That's why I felt like this would be a great addition to the Healthy Skin Show. Now, if you have any questions, comments, or thoughts, or you wanna get more information about Dr. Sethi, where she's located, and any of the resources that we discussed in this episode, head on over to skinterrupt.com/185. And it's the place to leave your thoughts. That way we can keep the conversation going. And as I asked in the beginning, if you have a moment, take that time, share about this episode or just share about the show, what you love, whether it's on a podcast app or you're sharing within a group. Sharing means you care. You really, truly care about those in our community. And it just takes that one moment to possibly transform the options that someone else believes they have, simply sharing this show as a resource for them. And make sure that while you're at it, you hit the subscribe button. That way you don't miss any of the upcoming tips, research, strategies, and inspiration that I share every single week. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you in the next episode.